What's the Takeaway podcast, hosted by Dr. Jackie Gilbert Grant, covers a variety of relevant topics with professional guests. This is the perfect show to learn from different views on national newsworthy topics. The show airs every Saturday at 11:30 a.m.
Good morning. Good morning, or wherever you are. Good afternoon. Good evening. We are so excited to be back with another segment of What's the Takeaway podcast with Dr. Jackie Gilbert Grant. I am Dr. Jackie Gilbert Grant, and I am excited about you tuning in and about you sharing this with your neighbor, your friend, and whomever will listen. We are excited about being in this podcast world, because in this podcast world, we see and we've been hearing some exciting things. And I've always wondered in that, what is the takeaway? What are we taking away from this particular podcast? So that's why we have labeled this as such. What's the takeaway? Because each guest that we invite here, we are asking them, after they have told us everything they had to say, what's the takeaway? What do you want the listening audience to remember about your presence and about your being here on today? So we have someone today, and I'm excited about her being here. We have someone all the way from the UK, and she is a dynamo. She's a dynamite. She's a wonderful woman, and her name is, she's a pastor, and she is a minister. She is a motivational speaker. She is everything we need her to be for this particular day and for the future, for the world. Laura Akinola, we are so glad that she's here from the UK. Laura, why don't you greet us, greet our listening audience.
Hello, listeners. God bless you. I'm so excited to be with you today. I trust you're all well.
Yes, yes, yes. If you trust that you are doing well all the way in the UK. And so we're going to get started. We're talking today basically about personal development, and we're talking about you. This is dedicated to you, our listeners, how you can personally develop your life and put things in proper perspective. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do in the line of personal development.
Yeah, so as you have said, my name is Laura Akinola. I'm an ordained minister of the gospel. I'm a pastor. I pastor a ministry which is predominantly online, called Liberty Ministries International. And also, I am passionate about personal development and spiritual growth. Everything I do is geared towards that. I am a mentor and a coach, as well as being a pastor. I am a coach and a mentor, and I focus more on personal development and spiritual growth.
Okay, so you say you focus more on personal development and spiritual growth. So if I, as a client, was coming to you to get started, where would you take? Would you take me through personal development spiritually, or will it be a natural course or something that I would have to take?
So I will work with you. When somebody comes with me, when somebody comes to me for personal development, you know, it's a very, very broad subject. And as I always say, personal development is not a destination. It's a lifelong journey. As long as you are alive and breathing, you will always seek to develop yourself. And because it's so broad, it encompasses all aspects of life. So when somebody comes to me in the beginning to start with, I would be interested in knowing what aspects of their area they want to work on, they want to develop on. It could be their spiritual walk with God. It could be their prayer life. It could be their personal, something about their personal life. It could be habits or career. It depends where they want to develop. It could be something that they have experienced and they're trying to grow from. For example, as I said, as I was saying before, I wrote a course on overcoming rejection. I am passionate about this overcoming rejection because I find that rejection happens every day to people, that even to the point that sometimes we are oblivious to it. We don't know that this is what is happening, but very subtly it then reflects in people's behavior. They behave, it impacts them and they reflect back rejection back to other people around them. So healing is very important. And if you're not healed, if you're not solid, if you're not sound, it will affect every area of your life, every aspect of your relationship with people. I like what the Bible says in 3 John verse 2, where it says that, "Beloved, above all, I wish that you would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers." So what that tells me is that to the degree that your soul prospers, it is to that degree that you will prosper and be in good health. Because our soul is our seat of emotions, our seat of decision, everything emanates from there. And we need to make sure that that place is very sound, it's very whole, it's very solid. So I will work with you, if you were to come to me or if a client comes to me, I would work with them to see exactly what is the root cause of their of the issue that they have come to me with, and then we'll work from there. So we never do anything superficially. It is very important to get to the root of it. Then we'll be able to make sure that we address everything properly.
Okay. Yes. Well, and then now with this the overcoming the rejection is what you said. And for us to overcome rejection, what is the primary focus of me overcoming being rejected? And I'm gonna say in a marriage.
So sometimes we are in denial that something happens because it's so shocking and so traumatic and so unbelievable. Especially if the rejection comes from somebody that we love, that we expect to love us back, that we expect to feel safe in their arms, in their company, like in a spouse, for example. So sometimes we are in denial of some key things that have happened, but we use the symptoms of what is obvious, the obvious behavior that led to us now concluding that we have been rejected. But before the obvious action from the person who has rejected us, there have been some subtle behaviors that they have been exhibiting towards us that we have been overlooking. Maybe because it's too shocking, it's too difficult for us, too traumatic for us to accept. And there are three principles I always say to start with. Because what we want to do is we want to conquer this thing. We want to conquer this rejection. We want to overcome it and be whole. So the first thing is that you cannot conquer what you don't identify. Cannot conquer what you don't confront, and you cannot confront what you don't identify. So you cannot conquer what you do not confront, and you cannot confront what you do not identify. The first thing is identify it. Identify it and accept it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is confront it. Might be difficult. You might need help with that. That's one of the things that I do. I can walk alongside you to help you to confront it, to accept that this has happened or this is happening. So you identify it, to confront it, and then you conquer it. Because once you confront it, you accept it, half of the battle is won. The most difficult thing in overcoming rejection or being healed from rejection is the ability to accept, to confront it, to accept that I'm actually dealing with this right now. This is happening to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Once you accept that and you're able to confront it, that, okay, I know you, that this issue, I know that you are confronting me right now, I'm dealing with it. And then we need to begin to take steps in terms of overcoming it. So we take practical steps. There are practical things that we need to do, as well as I said, my coaching practices, even though I don't quote chapters and verses, I do sometimes, but not always, but it's always undergirded by biblical principles. It's always on biblical principles. So we're going to use biblical principles to deal with it. And also one of the things that we do is we'll help people to know their identity in Christ. You know, understand your foundation and accept your identity in Christ, because we take on roles, we do things like I'm a mother, or I'm a pastor. I do all these things. So all of these things that we do are part of who we are, but they're not the core of who we are. They don't define our identity. So it's about understanding your identity in Christ. If I'm a mother, even though I may have given birth biologically, but inherently I'm a mother. Take me to any country in the world and put me around any children, I'm a mother. I will mother them. So when I know that my identity is not necessarily tied to my biological children, God forbid that anything should happen between me and my children, as traumatic and devastating as that could be, if I understand that my identity is in Christ Jesus and my ability to nurture, if the gift has been given to me, I could exhibit that wherever else I go. That is comforting to a degree. And that's one of the deep things that I deal with. I know it's very, very tough. It's very difficult. But when we work together, we get to the point where it doesn't matter who rejects you. You have an identity in Christ Jesus, and God gave you a purpose from the beginning, with or without that person. So that person coming into your life is they're just here to walk alongside you for you to fulfill your purpose and destiny. But it doesn't mean that if they're not there anymore, then you can't fulfill your purpose or destiny. So you need to, it's about focusing on who gave you that assignment, who gave you the gift, who gave you the ability, who gave you the calling in the first place. Not trivializing the fact that you love this person or they're your loved ones and it's difficult and it's painful, not minimizing that at all. But ultimately, if we are going to heal and move on, we need actually to see what God is saying about us. Where do I fit in the plan of God? What is his purpose for me? Okay, and can I fulfill this purpose without this person? It could be anything. It could be a job. We've seen people who were rejected from a job, maybe did not they didn't get the job that they thought that they were qualified for. They have prepared for, they believe that they deserved it. It could be a promotion and they were rejected. That could be very, very devastating. It could be very, very, very painful. But I can help people to actually overcome that and see the bigger picture. There is always the bigger picture, always. There's always something bigger on the horizon.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know, and something you were saying when you went back to the principles, and you said you cannot conquer something that you can, that you will not confront. So confronting, but do you ever find that sometimes I can confront it, but I may not be totally confronting it in faith. I'm confronting it more or less like in fear. I'm confronting it because I know I got to face the fact that it is what it is. But my mind is saying it, but my heart is far away from that, if you understand what I'm saying. How do you help a person who I'm describing that says, you know, while I'm in this class, I'm doing good, but then when I get home and in the wee hours of the morning, I'm crying, I'm hurting because of the fact that perhaps I'm not conquering this the way I need to. What do you say to them?
Yeah, it's because I'm still holding on to it. I haven't let go of it. That's why I'm still crying. That's why it's still hurting me that much. Okay. So it's a journey. It's not an immediate, you can't just tell somebody to just get over it. You know, it's a journey. that I'm going to work with them, you know, step by step, day by day, at their own pace. At their own pace. But each day, each time, helping them to understand that, you know, they need to let go. And why they need to let go. What? Because, like I always say to people, if you want to fly, you have to give up the ground that you are standing on. You cannot hold on to the ground and fly at the same time.
No.
The ground may be safe, may be comfortable, and everything may be familiar. But when it is time to fly, then you need to give up the ground. And so it's about coming to that understanding gradually, bit by bit, working with them. It's a journey, but they will get there. They usually get there, and helping them to, you know, there are alternative other things that you could do that could occupy the time, your time, rather than sitting down and thinking about it. There are exercises that you can do, and there are books. I'm an avid reader. I believe in reading. There are books that are different materials, articles that you could read to educate yourself, to empower yourself, more importantly, to see yourself as God sees you. Like when you are looking in the mirror, you are looking at the image of God. Mm-hmm. You are not looking at somebody who's been rejected. You are not looking at somebody who is subject to somebody else's power or somebody else's opinion. You are actually looking at God's image. That's powerful. When you understand that you are looking at the image of God in the mirror, and you have the, forgive me, I'm going to go a little bit theological right now. We have it's called, the image of God is called the essence of God. It's called homoousia. You have the essence of God in you. You're like God. You are God's child. You have his essence in you. And you need to begin to tap into that and walk according to that. And you find that because you can't be going in different directions at the same time, you find that the day you begin to take baby steps towards where you want to go, take baby steps. You may stumble and fall every now and again, but you're taking the steps, you're focused. And that's one of the work that I will do with people, to focus on where they are going. You can't be driving, like I said, driving forward and looking in the rear mirror, focusing mm-hmm. where your baby steps. You get stronger and stronger every day. It's a journey. It's not an immediate thing, but you will get there. You will get healed. You will get whole. You will overcome that rejection. You'll come out on the other side and be a better person, not a bitter person. You'll come out of it. Because it's very, very important. If you don't forgive, if you're still holding on to offense, you're not healed.
Or yes.
Or if you're trying to be successful just to make them see that they made a mistake for rejecting you, that you know he should have stayed with you, you're still not ready, you're still not healed. So your success, I mean, obviously, inevitably will be obvious to everybody, but you don't want to be successful just to make him see that he made a mistake. You want to be successful for your own self.
You said something there just now. I'm reminded of a story of someone that got a divorce. And I don't know why I'm on divorce this morning, but got a divorce. And they went on their way. They were in the process of trying to conquer. But they were saying out of their mouth, "I have conquered. I'm over that. I've moved on. I've moved ahead." Started doing their own business, and just everything seemed like they were going good. And then they walked up to their ex, and there he and his new girlfriend or whatever comes into the building, and her response to us afterwards, she said, "I could have went and snatched her hair out. You know, I could have just did this and I could have done that." She was, because she was jealous. So has she conquered? Because my question is like, well, if that jealousy can rise up to the point where you want to do something after almost 2 years, you haven't really conquered.
No, you don't lose your victory. you know, at the mention of somebody's name or when you see them. Obviously, he's moved on with his life and living his best life with his girlfriend. Why are you losing your own joy?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, I'll be honest. I've seen this with a lot of people in relationships and stuff like that. That's why I brought it up, because I hope some of them are listening this morning and let them know you have not conquered this. You have suppressed it. And as long as he's out of sight, he's out of mind. But I'm still dealing with a form of rejection that you left me for this woman. That's where I see it.
Well, it's important to accept that, to acknowledge that. And that's what I mean by confronting. You know, it's easy to say, oh yes, I'm over him. You know, he can do whatever he likes. I'm just going on with my life. But if you lose your victory just because you see him with somebody else, or you even see him, or somebody mentions his name, you're not healed. You are not healed. You need to be healed. I mean, obviously, not minimizing the fact that it's painful. You may have made a lot of investment in that relationship. Yeah. But you may have invested your life years and years into that marriage or into that relationship. But when it's over, it's over. And God is not short of blessings.
Come on now. Yes.
He is not short of blessings. Your blessings are not tied to just one person. It's their loss.
It's their loss. Can you say that again? Can you say that again? It's their loss. It's their loss. Yes.
You are a blessing. Anybody that associates with you associates with a blessing. You add value to people's lives. That is who you are. Anybody who gets you is fortunate. Anybody who gets you gets a gift from God. You are a blessing. You are intelligent. You are smart. And you have purpose and destiny. And you are wise. And you are a child of God. You don't come cheap.
Ooh, come on, Pastor Laura. Yes.
True. You don't come cheap. You are designer's original. Never to be repeated again. Okay? You are uniquely made. Nobody is perfect. However, Every quality that God gives you is uniquely to you and for you. And you have to see yourself like that. You don't have to wait for somebody to affirm you. I mean, it's good. All of us love to be affirmed. You know, I love to hear it too. It's wonderful to hear that. It's good to hear that. However, if nobody affirms you, you need to affirm yourself, because you know God has already affirmed you. You see yourself as God sees you. When God is looking at you, God is not looking at some miserable person. No, God is looking at himself. He's looking at himself, his image. He made you like himself. He's looking at somebody whom he has put his qualities into. He has given you the gift to be able to add value to other people's lives. That is the person whom God is looking at. And you need to see that person as well.
Wow. Yes.
And
yes.
The way you carry yourself. An analogy that I love to give when I'm coaching is this. I don't know much about stores in America, but here we have one of the most expensive stores in London is Harrods. I'm sure you've heard of Harrods.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
So if you go to Harrods and you bought a bowl, a gold plated bowl, big bowl, very, very, very expensive, right? That it's really, really expensive. It's all, it has jewels on it all over, diamond encrusted, and you brought it home, right? And you put it by your door, outside your door, and you're using it as your trash can. Guess what's going to happen? Somebody is going to be walking past, eat McDonald's, and put the paper, McDonald's paper on it. Mm-hmm. So going to be pushing her pram and would have changed the baby, her baby's diaper, and put baby's diaper in it. Why? Because you have let everybody see that it's a trash can, even though it costs you, it's very, very expensive. But by contrast, if you went to Dollar Shop or Dollar Tree and you bought a plastic bowl now that costs you $1, and mm-hmm. you put it piece and you dust it all the time, every time you place so much value on it, okay, it'll be hard pressed for somebody to go and put rubbish in it.
Okay, yeah, true.
Because you have let them see that that is important, that is valuable. And that is you are valuable. You are, the Bible says that your price is, that you are more precious than gold. You know, your price is far above rubies. You know, you can't be bought by material things. You can't be won over, as wonderful as material things are. You are more valuable than that. Okay, so you need to see yourself as that and put yourself on the mantelpiece and make sure that you polish yourself all the time so that nobody can come and put any trash in there.
That's it.
Because you are expensive. You're not cheap. You don't come cheap.
That's it. Oh, you on a roll today. You are there today. I think that to our listeners, you know, though, especially those that feel like they have been they've been rejected and they can't seem to get over it, you have given us some precious nuggets to try to hold on to as we continue to go through life and getting ourselves ready for the next level of life, the next level of where God is getting ready to take us. Because even after, you know, the scripture says, after you've suffered a while, then God makes you strength. He strengthens you, he establishes you, and he settles you. So after I've gone through the spirit of rejection, then comes the good part, that God strengthened me from this, that he settles me from this, and he established me. He reestablished me and sent me back out there. It's almost like put on your clothes and get back in the race. And I go back healed. I go back delivered. I go back free from the thing that hurt me the most, or at least the thing I thought hurt me the most. Tell me where we can get some information on what you're talking about today.
So we are just revising the course Overcoming Rejection. It's a workshop that we are now putting on this teaching platform, Teachable platform, where people can download it and just work with it at their own pace. It comes with a workbook. Up until now, we used to do it in person because it can be such a sensitive subject, because sometimes we hit sensitive topics that people are dealing with. And I like to be really soft and tender with people when we get to that and minister to them. However, we have revised, well, we are in the process of revising it and putting it online so that more people can access it and just follow the workbook. Just follow the workbook topic by topic at your own pace. And obviously I am available if you need ministration. Just send me an email to wherever you are at with that workbook. Just send me an email if you know that you need ministration with regards to that particular chapter where you are. So the course is going to be on Teachable. We are trying to make it ready for the end of February. I'm working as fast as I can on it. It will be ready, but it will be on Teachable. And it will be on laraakinola.com.
Okay. Say it again. Tell us the email address again.
So it will be on laraakinola.com/teachable. Okay. That's the website. But again, it's in progress at the moment. It's in process at the moment. But in the next couple of weeks, it should be ready. And people should be able to access that. And I will send you the link when it's ready. I can send you the link so that people can access that.
Sounds good. Okay. We're going to take a break right here, and we want to hear from Jazuri, our sponsor for today. We got a commercial that's coming in for JazuriBrand.com.
Welcome to the Jazuri brand of body oils. Jazuri 24 Karat 5-in-1. The ingredients of this wonderful oil helps to exfoliate, soften, and moisturize. It is quick absorbing and has anti-aging elements that give your skin a youthful appearance. Jazuri Bliss has a glossy, satiny feel. It hydrates the body and helps you feel refreshed. Jazuri Ignite. This is a body oil for men. The secret to this oil is the honey that helps protect, repair, and prevent skin damage. Jazuri Pink Ice. The smell of sweet jasmine is the dominant floral fragrance that you will smell. It's rich in emollients, with a touch of vitamin E, which helps to rejuvenate your skin and lighten scars. Jazuri Sugar and Spice. Experience the dazzling sugar crystals combined with our rich oils that will exfoliate and help clear up dry skin, making your skin to be alive again. Learn more at www.jazuribrand.com. Email info@jazuribrand.com.
Okay, we're back. And I am so excited. I'm so excited to have you as a guest. And our discussion today was just beautiful, because I believe with all my heart that there is someone that's listening and they are grabbing hold to even deeper faith and hope that things are going to change. And so I heard that you have something. It's called the May 28th. Can you tell us about that event that you're having on May 28th?
Oh, we have our annual conference coming up on the 28th of May. I'm so excited about this. It's our annual conference. It's called Mercy Seat Conference. Mercy Seat Conference. We hold this every May, every year. And the theme for this month's conference is called Revive Us Again. Revive Us. Because we've been through, as a society, the whole world really, we've been through quite a lot in the last couple of years. And the Lord is going to revive us again, because during this transition, I believe we have been transitioned into a new normal, as everybody is calling it. But unfortunately, there has been a lot of, some people have lost loved ones. Some people have lost businesses. Quite a lot of things have happened that has dampened a lot of people's spirit. And this is what the conference is going to do. Is it's going to minister to people that your life is going to be revived. Obviously, we are praying for spiritual awakening in our land, you know, across the world. We are praying for revival, spiritual awakening in our world. But the Lord was telling me that the land cannot be revived in the abstract. It is when the people in the land are revived, that is when the land will be revived. The trees are not going to be revived. The rivers are not going to be revived. All the natural elements on the roads are not going to be revived. But when the people who are living in the land are revived, that is revival. So God is going to bring more joy into our lives. Businesses are going to be revived. Marriages are going to be revived. Broken homes are going to be revived. There is going to be a revival, you know, so that, like, again, going back to that scripture, I wish that you would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. A soul that is depressed, a soul that is sad and is dealing with a lot of loss, is not revived. But we can revive that. The Lord can revive that. There will be a revival. Amen. There will be a revival. There will be a revival of passion. There will be a revival of vision. People will be able to try again. Somebody who has felt rejected, for example, and has resigned to failure, you know, their hope will be revived again. They will be alive and awakened again and aroused again to be able to hope again, to be able to love again, to be able to laugh again. I am so excited with what the Lord is already telling me about what He is going to do on this day. I cannot wait. I am so pumped.
You are. You are pumped. Yes, but you know, you said something, and I mean, it pricked me, say, we'll be able to try again. Because so many times we tried and it didn't work out, but God is saying during this time, we're going to be able to try it again. And this time it's going to work. It's going to work. We're going to be able to laugh. Wow. I love this. I declare, I love it, because that when you said that, it was like, oh, that just opened up something in me when you said that. I'm going to be able to try again. And this time it's going to work. That's what I heard God say at the end of when you said try again and say, and this time it's going to work. It's going to work this time. So I'm excited about that. And is it going to be for those that is it going to be online for those of us that want to register?
Yes, we're going to put it on YouTube and send the link to anybody who registers for it so that it can be a part of it. Because it's paid for, we're not going to put it on Facebook. That would not be fair, you know, for people who have paid for it. But we're going to put it, so we're going to put it on the YouTube so that other people who are not able to attend in person, for example, all of my friends in America will receive a link. And I understand that some people can want to have like a watch party about it as well. You know, a link is going to be sent so that everybody will be a part of every experience. You will be a part of every experience. And I'm praying also, you know, like I always say, every Sunday when I'm ministering, because we're predominantly online, our church online, I always say every Sunday, I repeat this, that we may be gathering virtually. Our gathering may be virtual, but the power and the presence of God is never virtual. His power and his presence is always real. And his power will hit you wherever you are. And every experience that we are going to be having on the day will be the same. Nobody will have a less experience than another person. The power of God is going to be present. The Spirit of God is going to be present. We are going to be touched. You will hear the voice of God above my voice. Like every word I speak, we have another guest speaker. So I'm speaking and somebody else is speaking. Every word we speak, you will hear the voice of God above the voice of the speaker. That is my covenant with God. That as we open our mouth to speak on that day, I don't want people to hear our voices. I want them to hear your voice. I want you to speak to them specifically, that the word will be relative to every hearer. Oh my goodness, I'm excited.
Oh, I love it. Well, I tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a watch party and I'm going to put a watch party together and we're going to have a certain amount of girls. I'm going to serve some breakfast because when you all start getting everything together, I think it'll be like almost 6 o'clock in the morning at our time. So we're going to have, so I'm going to bait them with some breakfast. Okay, y'all come, we're going to have breakfast and then we're going to just sit down and we're going to soak in everything that you all have to offer. So I am excited about the conference. I believe that God has endorsed it, put his seal of approval upon it, and we are going to participate as much as we possibly can. So we're getting ready to end, but I always ask my guests after we have talked about so much, and we have talked about a lot of exciting stuff here today, tell me, what is the takeaway? What do you want to leave this audience with?
The takeaway today is that you are worth it. You are worth your joy. You are worth the peace. You are worth living your best life. God wants you to be whole, spirit, soul, and body, and you are worth it. Regardless of who accepts you or who does not accept you, regardless of who believes in you, who doesn't believe in you, you are worth the joy of God. You are worth the peace of God. You are worth every blessing that God has decided to bestow upon you. And I want you to get up and walk like it, look like it, smell like it, behave like it. Believe it, because God believes you. God believes you. He believes in you. You are worth it.
All right. Okay. Well, I am so glad. I call her Pastor Laura. I call her Dr. Laura. She got all these titles because she is an awesome woman of God. And so I am so glad that you're with us. I'm looking to do some exciting things with you and also for you to come back and be with us again anytime. All you got to do is say, all right, I got something else I want to say on What's the Takeaway. And I promise you, you will be our guest. So until next week, my friends, tune in to What's the Takeaway with Dr. Jackie Gilbert Grant. God bless you.
What's the Takeaway podcast, hosted by Dr. Jackie Gilbert Grant, covers a variety of relevant topics with professional guests. This is the perfect show to learn from different views on national newsworthy topics. The show airs every Saturday at 11:30 a.m.